The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grants is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas Welding and Fire, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9, 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
It's the foundation. Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Friday afternoon, September 1st. For all you September babies, happy birthday to you. It is a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. I know that you're going to do a great deal. I'm so happy to be with you today. In the land of the living, we know we normally talk like this, and it's important that we, if you know you're living, slap yourself in the chest. Talk to me. It is a beautiful day. Talk to me. I got some people in the studio slapping themselves in the chest. I hope you're doing the same in your car. Talk to me. It's a beautiful day, and I'm grateful to be in your company. Let's get all of these laundry out of the way first, and let's be able to thank the persons that are here with us. All those sponsors that continue to be able to sponsor the show, I thank you so very kindly. If you want to be a part of it and want to be a part of Small Business Thursdays, 827-0111, 827-0111, we can be able to hook you up and do some wonderful things for you. Yesterday, we had a great time to being able to sit down with the Snackathon over at the Fresh Market and Harbor Bay Plaza. It was a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Godspeed to talk like this. We're going to have this conversation next week, Tuesday. Pintad hammers government on failure of published reports on the government contracts. The QC student, listen to me. QC doing major things, man. Congratulations to the young man who's being able to do those things. Man, he's a well still. My God. Also, we can be able to see some things happen. Bahama gears up for the best September we've ever had. We're going to have great conversations next week. Today, we have some things kind of set up for you. I want to be able to say a good shout out to my guy, Ethric. He didn't have an opportunity to be able to come with me yesterday. Ethric was supposed to sit with me here on radio yesterday with AFS Insurance. We finally got him. Hey, amen. He came on. Praise God. Right? So he finally came on, and it was grateful. I'm grateful to that. So, guys, make sure you do check out Ethric. He's a good, decent man down there at AFS Insurance and Brokers. Listen. Today is a wonderful day, like I said. I'm grateful to be in your company and grateful to have good people around me. Now, if I didn't tell you, I think I did. If I didn't tell you, today is a very special day. I got 8 Maroc people in the house. I mean, they want me to talk like this, but I got to talk like this. Hey, but listen, decent people in the house with me today. You know, I don't get shots, but people know. This is it. This is it, right? It's a beautiful thing. We've done this before on another platform and being able to dive deep into conversations that has to do with the conviction, our position and where we stand and how we align ourselves and push past religion and understand and access faith. Not necessarily spirituality, that's a different topic entirely, but faith. And being able to root ourselves in that and understand why things are happening. Why things are happening. Ladies and gentlemen, with me today, man, I'm very grateful to this. Deidre, you don't want me to call your name, right? You said no. You said don't call your name. Deidre. Okay, good. All right, so I wouldn't say that his wife is here also. But I will say that Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, he's here today. He's going to be talking to us about prayers that work. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce a very good friend of mine, family member. I must tell you his family. People will be like, how are everybody's your cousin? Stop fighting me. He's a married man. I can find family after this. I ain't looking for nobody. Praise God, right? So we're doing this. Kevin L.A. Ewing, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. He's worldwide. Listen, he's renowned around the world. I look on his post. I look on your post, and all I see is, what? I know these Africans, right? So you got people all over the world that are listening to you. It is a wonderful thing, my brother. Say good afternoon to those listening audience out there.
Good afternoon, Howard, and good afternoon to your listening audience. It's a pleasure to be here in Nassau. Normally, we try to avoid Nassau, but...
you need to stop it.
No, because I'm not done. What I'm saying, we try normally avoid them for the last.
Yes.
Because it's a bigger population, so we have more time here.
He's the decent man.
Yeah, decent.
I like that. Recovery, praise God, right? So talk to me about this. You have, for a very long time... give people a little background first, though. But for a very long time, I've been following you. My wife knows you. We all know you. And we watch your transition, how you used to come over and really start to talk about the complexity that people put and the religions that people put, the religion, Bill Maher's religiosity that they put on the top of the Word of God and not necessarily attaching faith to it. So you've been doing it for a long time, and I feel like this has blossomed into something independent for you. Like you've been able to stand on your very own the world over. Mm-hmm. A wonderful thing. Talk to persons about how this journey started and how we're moving to this point.
Well, before I even tell you how my journey started, I never in a trillion years ever planned to be a pastor, a religious leader, and I even had trouble trying to be a Christian. So that was totally off my radar altogether. But of course, life would have thrown some challenges at me. But prior even to that, you know, I grew up with my grandparents on both of my family, mom and dad's side. My grandmother on my father's side was a Methodist, and my grandmom on my mother's side was a prophecy. So I had plenty of energy from the prophecy, and then we'd wind it down a little bit in the Methodist area. Not knowing that all of those things would have been seeds being planted in me for my destiny. Of course, as you get older, you begin to stray away from those things, trying to do your own thing. But of course, those life challenges brought me right back to my foundation. Joining the church, becoming a Christian, and trying to do the right thing, the problem that I had was I wasn't seeing the results that I was reading in this Bible. I'm watching people being carted to the graveyard every Saturday, Sunday, whenever. I'm watching people suffering from diabetes, having limbs cut off. I'm watching just about 95% of the church struggling financially. So in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, okay, I don't see where these messages equate to the people. So I finally had enough of all of it. And in 2012, I made the grand decision to walk away from the four walls. Let me be clear. I didn't walk away from the body of Christ. Well, every believer is a part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So I didn't walk away from that. I walk away from tradition, church policies, bylaws. That's what I walked away from.
Everybody's eyebrows going up.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
What this man talking about?
Right.
We can
learn today.
Okay, praise God. Let's go.
So when I left all of that and ventured out on my own in terms of following the Great Commission, nowhere in Scripture was it said to me that I must stay in the church. I was commanded by Jesus, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. I went and I did exactly that. I started off writing articles. Well, I was doing it before 2012, all the way back to 2006. Started off writing articles. And one day the Freeport News called me. And so they did. The next thing I know, the Tribune did. And people just started calling and asking me to come and minister after I started doing the videos.
It started organic like that?
It was just like that.
It wasn't a strategy.
Let me see. No.
Freeport News.
No pastor promoted me. No, none of that. So all I did was just doing what I love. And then when I started the video, and this lady right here, my beautiful wife, she was the shaky guy one on the camera. She was on the camera. And I would go on the beach, and we just was actually just playing around. And I just started to post them. People started to like them. And then I started doing more and more and more. And it came all the way down to the pandemic was when everything began to blow up. Because what happened at this point, they was telling me I was the Mr. Wannabe internet pastor. I didn't have a problem with that. Because my thing was, I was pushing the gospel as instructed by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everybody have their method of doing it. I choose not to be in the four walls and actually go in and do it. The pandemic literally catapulted my ministry beyond my wildest expectation. Back then, that was like 2020, I think the pandemic came out.
Yeah, January 2020.
Right. My subscription to YouTube was maybe about 6,000.
Yeah.
From then to now, 235,000 subscribers follow me on YouTube alone, which is more than all the churches and members to get in the Bahamas.
235,000.
And that's just YouTube. You're not talking about all of the other social media outlets. So what this says to me and my observation of all of this, people want results. People don't want spin around five times, give me a five, drop kick them on the floor. They don't want that. What we want is results. And that's what they want. See, you could have me in church following the rules all the time, and I could live that form of godliness. But at the end of the day, if my kid's getting gunned down, if I can't pay the mortgage, if I can't put food on the table, I get broke. At some point, I can break.
What you're doing.
So at the end of the day, what people saw was results. So you know what happened now? Every continent calling on this Kevin guy. This guy who's in the part of the church.
This is true.
Continent calling on this Kevin Ewing guy. Hey, look, we want you to come and preach.
Out of the Bahamas.
First thing they say to me, listen, we don't care.
You never had aspirations for this.
Zero.
All you wanted to do?
All I wanted
is
to
your
do.
Little article.
This little article.
Go to the beach and do your little thing.
And that was just my little relief thing, to be quite honest with you. I wasn't into nothing. But.
You were working at the time?
I was working at FedEx. In fact, that's where it got even more beautiful. So now, when it came to FedEx, and again, when I left, all of the promotions came. When I stopped all of the, I can say something right now, everybody's going to get mad. When I stopped paying tithe and sowing seed is when my life began.
My God, boom, don't call yet. Stop it.
right.
Stop it.
Right.
Because the people that write the check for the
cash. I know.
You need to stop.
So when I stopped all of that stuff and just began running it. Listen, I don't care who get mad. I'm telling you the results. I am living the results today. So guess what? In 2019, the Lord said to me, it's time to leave your job. I was working at FedEx. I got promoted as an account executive, making $1,000+ per week, plus bonuses, better to the works. And the Lord said to me, it's time to leave. Deidre and I went on a fast in December of 2018, because every end of year, December, I do end of year fast.
The beginning of December or?
From the beginning all the way to the end, you could squeeze in any fast you want to do.
No time.
But I'll throw the.
No ham and turkey.
No. Cut back on that food.
This is praise
right,
God.
Okay, right. No crossover seats. Just do it right there. So we went on the fast agreeing that if it is God who wants me to leave, he would now bring confirmation. That following March, okay. I had an invitation in Jersey. And in that invitation, it was a 3-day invitation, and the gentleman was trying to get me there for a while. But I told him I'm not allowed to come right now. So I finally got a word from the Lord to go. The minute I got there, he was so overwhelmed. Before I came, he asked me, how much is your honorarium? So I said, sir, I have been instructed by God never ever to charge an honorarium, never ever to ask for a seed. He is the one that's going to do that. My job is to carry out the will of God, and he will take care of all the incidentals. And from that day to now is exactly how this ministry worked. Everything that we've accomplished in this ministry came as a result of pushing the word of God only. So as a result of that, just when we were about to leave, he called us up, and he gave us a ton of money for it. So he called us up, and he said to me, he said, young man, why are you still on this job? He said, you should have been off this job a long time ago. And she looked at me in tears because she knew only her and I agreed. Nobody else knew about this. Got back home, still didn't leave. And this is now about June 2019. So like about a month I dealt with this gentleman. And one day I just came from seeing a client, came into my office, sat down, opened up my laptop. And I said, you know what? I don't have to take this no more. And I immediately wrote up a resignation letter to my boss. Right,
it was that bad.
The job was good. Don't get me wrong. But I was tormented because this isn't where I wanted to be no more.
Yeah.
I wrote the resignation letter to my boss.
But that's sometimes how it works.
It. Mm-hmm.
It works. It, God troubles your comfort and contentment in a location
exactly.
to propel you
exactly.
to where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
My God.
Well, when that ended and I left the job, well, he told me, he said, son, listen to me carefully. He said, the day you walk off this job, he said, your finances are going to catapult like never be. And he's looking me dead in the eye as if he have documented information on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe every word he said. He said, you would never have to worry about finances again. Now, he only confirmed what every other true prophet has always spoken to me. And that's how it always was with me years before I even got into this. I would be at a service, don't know the preacher from Adam. He would stop his preaching, walk to where I am, come up. Man of God, you are called to preach the gospel all over the world. You would never have to worry about finances. This was the theme in my prophecies. In fact, anyone who came in any other prophecy, I don't listen to them.
And you were at, you over at
FedEx. And this was even before I got my promotion at FedEx. Mm-hmm. This was way back in early 2000. I would hear this over and over. Of course, this was my destiny. So when I left FedEx now, doors just begin to open. Europe, London, Caribbean, Cayman, U.S., and people just started to call to the point I had to turn down invitations because there was so much coming. And remember, it's the same guy who stopped paying his tithe, who stopped sowing seed, who now took on the gospel of the New Testament and giving the way Jesus said to give. He says, you want to give to me? When you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. All of that I started operating on. All of that. Whenever I had that opportunity to give, I would give. As a result of that giving, we were able to set ourselves debt-free through the biblical principles, which is a book I will have coming in a couple of weeks, on these same principles that I took. Paid off all my debt, paid off my student debt, bought our home cash-free, debt-free. None of that I could have done while I was paying the tithe. None of that I could have done while I was sowing the seed. None of that I could have done following church policy. It was only when I followed the rules, the laws, the principles, and the ordinance of the scriptures, not trying to please anyone, that I begin to see the supernatural literally work out in my life. And that's why people follow me, because they follow the same rules and they get the results. People
this
look for results.
This is absolutely amazing. I know there are pastors out there grinding their teeth
probably
right
doing
now.
Some results.
My God. Mm-hmm. Angry. Mm-hmm. This man don't always pay the bills at the church. Talk like that. And I want to talk to you from that perspective. And also I want to talk to you about people want results, right? Prayers that actually work. I want to get deep down into this, guys, on the second hour, because he's going to be here for the whole time with us. So forgive me. Let's get a good foundation, a good base out, have a good conversation. And then I'm going to open up the lines for a good talk with me, be able to do that. You know, let me give you the numbers now. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720, yeah, that's right. And definitely hit me up on the text 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
Farmers everywhere, fishermen here and there, the Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs now has 30 services available online. Apply for your agriculture farmland lease, farmers registration and license, and crawfish trapping permits online. All kinds of duty-free and import permits are now just a click away. Visit mygateway.gov.bs and grow your business today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
At Alive, we believe that every common loftier goal is within our reach. We believe in the essence of our identity, the richness of our history, and the boundless potential that lies within us. That's why our network is built by, owned by, and managed by us. Alive, believe in Bahamians. Visit BeAlive.com to take advantage of our golden independence deals. Alive, believe in best.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. On this laid-back Friday, you know we normally take our time to talk about these things, but as the introduction to this conversation, I don't pay tithes. I left the four walls of the church. I think it's going to be tight, but it's going to be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, please be a part of the conversation. Other than a very good friend of mine from my hometown, he was a hometown boy. My daddy, who they call Bench, would hail him like, see, I don't even know, but that this is a whole deep, this is a deep thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful thing to be able to have people that you know, the proximity, because sometimes we assess ourselves and try to figure out whether or not we can do what God has called us to do. We sit down and try to figure out whether or not we have the strength to go beyond. We have this kind of a conviction inside of us to say that I know that I was called for something greater. But then we look at our environment and say, well, ain't nobody else doing nothing great. So how I can get out there? And then you see someone in your community like Kevin L.A. Ewing and being able to touch persons, like he said, on every continent. And that is not a joke. If you follow him, if you follow his, you know, his stuff that he actually does, you can be able to see in all of the comments and all the things like that. These people are from all over the world. And it's an amazing thing. My brother, say good afternoon again to the Bohemian.
Good afternoon to you, Howard, and your listening audience.
Man, he's a good, decent man. I appreciate you coming with me. When we left off, you started to talk about these things about biblical principles, right?
Right.
And people wanting results. There are a lot of persons who have been conditioned into the mindset, into this kind of a space that says, I must do as I'm told, as opposed to doing what I feel is right, as opposed to being able to read the Bible for what it says. A lot of persons push past the fact that this is a book of principles and look at it based upon the framing of their pastor, based upon the framing of religion, as a bunch of stories compiled. Not necessarily principles to change our life, not necessarily basic instructions before leaving earth. They just look at it as a compilation of stories. And then they contrast that stories to other stories, whether it's Greek, whether it's on the walls of the pyramids, where they contrast those stories and say that these mortals have this particular thing. But you're saying to me that these are principles, and when you applied it, you change your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about it.
Well, first of all, one of the greatest things that I had to battle when I would have left the four walls was this notion of another mere mortal being your covering. Of course, you know, that's a very, very steep thing in the, especially the black churches. And a lot of times when I bring this up, everybody gets riled up. And it always confuses me because I don't know why someone would want to be so adamant about controlling the lives of other people. Again, I go back to the principles, and this is why I could stand 10 toes down with what I believe and what I say. I go back to the principles of Scripture, not the opinion of men. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and it says that, for Christ is the head, and below him is the husband or the man, and then there's the wife, and above Christ is God. Structure. So what that says to me is simply this, right? Let's use my wife, Deidre, here. We're married right now. The Bible is saying, I am the covering for this woman. I'm the one responsible for this woman here, right? And even if I was not responsible for her, let's look at that order again. Who now becomes her covering? Christ. He says, I'm the head of the body. Now let's go a little deeper. Who is this body? His bride. Now you tell me, Howard, because maybe I'm a little slow here. Who man do you know leaves his bride or wife in the care of another man?
Well, you can't do that.
Okay, but that said, right, Jesus never left any pastor preach. And I know people hear me now, they're upset with this, but it's the truth. He left none of them in charge. What we are, though, preachers, teachers, apostles, bishops, and so on, we are here to empower in terms of We are responsible. Let's be responsible for giving you the word, the rules, the laws, the principles. Not having control over your life. It is no different than in Luke chapter, I think, 22 verses 19, 22, somewhere around there. When Jesus now getting ready to die, and he's telling the disciples. Morning, and say, no, you can't go. They say, but who's going to be in charge? He says, now, hold on, buddy. The kingdom of heaven is not done this way. He said the Gentiles bring in rulers to lord over them, but it's not done so in the kingdom of God. Instead, he that is greatest among you, pastor, bishop, evangelist, prophet, prophetess, he that is greatest among you must become a servant. Watch this now. A servant to those who are subject to you. Nowhere in scripture would you find this lordship over people. We have a church in Freeport right now where the pastor, people got to submit letters and emails to him as to what they're going to do for the rest of the week. And he's supposed to cover them. And my thing is, what are you covering me from that the blood of Jesus Christ hasn't covered me for already? So all of this have me so confused. And it's walking away from that limited, narrow way of thinking that when you break it, you spread your wings and you really take off into whom and what you're called to be. So many people, so this is my final, well, not final, but this is one of my main points. One person came to me the other day and they said, Mr. Young, I don't appreciate you saying that my pastor isn't my covering. I say, you know, before you go, you've got to stop right there. I say, if you were to go in your car right now and you were in a terrible accident where the car actually caved in on you, when you come out of that and catch your credit to your covering, or do you give credit to Jesus? I'm still waiting on the answer.
But the covering ain't been less the covering had the jaws of life.
That's another thing, right? And then when you ask about the covering, you, because it's such a non-biblical, it's non-biblical, everyone have a different version of it. Now, when you nail them in certain areas, no, covering means you need to be accountable. That's not true. According to Romans 14, verse 12, it says, we are all accountable to God. Every human being. God never put no human in charge of you. God puts your pastor there to lead you. That's what a shepherd does. Lead the sheep, not beat the sheep, not rule the sheep. Jesus gave a perfect example. He was so much of a servant that the creator of all creation washed the feet of the creation. Who does that? Mm. That's like Mr. Brave Davis come right now and washing me in your crusty foot right now, Howard. Mm. Imagine that. Just picture that in your mind. Think about the humility that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. So this lordship over people, particularly when there's no results in their lives, why would I follow that? Why? Why would people from Nigeria, we've been to Cayman Islands, to London, all of these places, people hungry? Why? Because I've tried what you said, sir. The principles.
And it didn't work.
And I've seen it come to pass in my life.
Let me talk about this because... The first thing popped up when you started to talk about is, you know, when this guy came to you and said, I don't appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate you saying that my pastor is not the covering of my life. There is an entrenched mental slavery because we have been fed by our forefathers far before we were born, you and I, far before the independence that we enjoy in this country, the 50 years. We have been fed as black people in the diaspora an idea that you need to be subjugated. Mm-hmm. You need to, there is this kind of an idea, there's this kind of an old adage that goes, the white man came in, and I don't want to make this about white and black, but I'm just simply talking to you about slavery and mental slavery. The white man came and gave us his religion while he took the land. And in neocolonialism, this kind of a shift, there is powers that is giving us this kind of an idea and structure that says, okay, this is where you need to do. Follow the words of God. God said these particular things, and then they take the spoils of the land. Talk to me about this mental slavery and being able to detach yourself from the conditioning. Because there are many pastors, and I want to be very clear about this, they don't even know. We can't fight them because they don't even know.
Right.
They are doing as they've seen before, not necessarily with an epiphany. They never necessarily had a come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. They had an urge and a desire within themselves. A couple people whispered to them, child boy, you could talk good, eh? You need to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Then they ascend to this position of this pastoral position over people, preacher position over people. They don't have no roots in the word of God. And then they teach you what they've learned over the years. A conditioning. Right. Talk to me about it.
Well, the best example that I could use to give you full insight on what you just said and in total detail will have to be the tithing. Tithing would be the most perfect subject right now. Okay, just about every church that we are aware of, you must pay tithe. So you've been told. And that whenever you don't pay it or you challenge it, then you refer to Malachi 3, verses 8, curse because you didn't bring in the tithe and offering. But it can be resolved if you resume that practice. And the proof, this is the part I want to focus on, the proof is God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there would not be room enough for you to receive it. So that simply means if I have a cup and it's halfway full or even empty and I keep pouring until the water begins to overflow, meaning that I have so much blessing that the cup cannot contain it. It didn't end there. The final promise there was that, and he will rebuke the devourer for your sake, meaning that all of those bill collectors and people coming after you, he about to shut that down, right? Okay, so if that is the result of the tithing, how many people can you count? And I'm going to be very simple here. On one hand, in your churches, that is experiencing that result based on scripture.
But the black church doesn't have the... Okay, so let's just be very clear. Let's be very clear about this.
Go ahead.
The first thing we're dealing with is an impoverished society who is seeking not only liberation from a spiritual standpoint, but economic liberation. They're looking for opportunities. We're looking for relationship. Our leadership in this country continues to go the world over and ask for a couple of dollars, shaving the convictions of the Bahamian people so we can accommodate people externally. See, I didn't know if you know I was going to get deep with this today.
See, listen, Howard.
I can get deep with this.
The point I'm getting at
okay,
is
good.
This.
Okay, good.
Let me get the point I'm getting at. At the end of the day, like I started out in this interview, results. See, this is what we're focusing on. If you say, Kevin, if you follow this pattern, and you're going to get this cup as a result of this pattern, then I expect this cup. But if I've been doing this pattern for 10, 15, 20 years, and I ain't getting nothing remotely close to this, I got a problem.
The pastors to say it ain't them.
So, no. So I can go back to that now. So let's go back to the beginning
maybe
of the time.
Maybe you did something wrong. Like let's go back. Job two friends? We show up.
Let's go back to the beginning. The Bible started off with the tent. And back in back with Abraham and Melchizedek.
Yes.
Abraham had won the war, right? And he gave a tenth of his portion of that winnings to Melchizedek. It was not by law that he should give it to him. He volunteered this. The next time it was brought up, I think, was in Genesis 28, where Jacob had the dream. And Jacob, after coming out of that dream where God made him all these promises, he says, oh God, if you do all of these things for me, I will give you a tenth. He's volunteering again. There's no law, rule, or principle. All right? Then, because I did a video on this called Tithing is a Law for Who, a five-part series that I have on Facebook, as well as YouTube. Tithing became a law in Numbers chapter 18. God now is saying, okay, I'm getting ready to shift y'all into the promised land, right? And as a result of shifting y'all into the promised land, some things can change now, okay? And what I've decided to do is make the tribe of Levi, the ones who are going to perform all of my godly duties here on this planet.
The priests.
Right. So as a result of that, he says, when you're going into the promised land, the Levi tribe of the other 12, or the full 12, will not receive any portion of that property over there. In exchange, I will have the 11 sibling tribes give a tenth of their produce and livestock. Now, hold on now. Tithing is a seven-year cycle. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be corrected. I think in the first and the third year, they were to bring the tithe, but not give it to the Levite. The 11 other tribes were supposed to consume their tithe. Then in year two and in year six or something, I could have the years mixed up, but this is the rules. Where when the tithe was brought to Levi, they would take off what they call the heave offering, the best. Meaning that nobody in Levi could just come and take up the tithe that was brought to them. The Levitical priests had to be first partaker of it. Watch this. Couldn't be anyone in Levi. They had to come through the lineage of Aaron, who was the first priest, still a part of the Levi. A Levitical priest could not practice his priesthood over the years of 50. There are so many rules that govern the tithe that I do not see in the church today. The only thing I see is collecting of the money. Let me take it a little further for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, God says, now when you bring your tithe, if it's too much for you to carry, then sell it. Because some people say there wasn't no money back then. Go read your Bible. Go sell it and then take the funds from what you get and buy whatever you want, including strong drink. You go read your Bible. Go. So if you really want me to bring tithe and I decide to bring me some Henny to the church, don't get mad at me. I'm being funny here. Read your Bible, and this is the legalism that we have on these things. Oh, no, he said no. Strong drink mean extra Kool-Aid. No, it mean no extra Kool-Aid.
It's rum.
It's rum. So what I'm saying to you, let's stop cherry picking. That's why people are not progressing. Am I engaging people to go bring looking at the church? Foolishness. What I'm saying to you is that until you look at the Bible
as
a book of laws and rules and principles, and in every story of the Bible, embedded in that story of Gideon, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob are the rules, the laws, and the principles of God. And the end of the day, each one of them succeeded or not succeeded based on the rules they followed or the rules that they dismiss.
This is heavy.
So if you have someone telling you, I am your covering, pay your tithe, do this, so see, do this, 20 years in and nothing is happening in your life.
Nothing.
And you mad at Kevin?
Yeah.
You mad at a Kevin who's telling you, follow the, I don't want a penny from you. If you choose to bless the ministry, that's fine. Because my faith is where y'all should be, in God and not a human being.
You know what's wild for me? I want to say this. I want to talk to you like this because I don't know, man. You got my face, my mind all wrapped up because I know that there is significant contention that's pushed back on this particular thing. There is a great deal of people who've been conditioned into this thing. And I need to know whether or not the prayers that work has to do with working your faith and being able to read with the conviction and understanding of the Word of God, that it ain't a bunch of stories.
Well, before I get to that in just 30 seconds, let me finish up with the tithe. So tithe became a law in Numbers chapter 18. And God is now setting up the whole financial structure going into the promised land. In verse 21, as well as verse 24 of Numbers 18, very, very clear. I have given the tithe to Levi. Not Pastor Kevin, not Reverend Dr. So-and-so. The only people on this planet that was commanded by law that could make a demand on tithing was the Levi tribe. The only one who were commanded by law to give them a tithe was the 11 sister tribe. Now, people may say, well, no, Kevin. No, prove it to me in the New Testament. I will be more than happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot over there to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, for the sons of Levi who were commanded by law, not opinion, not what my church policy say, not the bylaws of my church, the sons of Levi who were commanded by law to receive the tithe of their brethren. Who's this brethren? The 11 sister tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Old Testament being now confirmed by the New Testament, no pastor have the right to demand tithe from anyone unless they're from the tribe of Levi, particularly a Levitical priest.
What do you think this has creeped in into our society?
I can tell you right now. So let's go back to Malachi, because I know everybody out there right now, but what about Malachi? What about that? We can tell you about that right now. So Malachi now comes back in Malachi 3. Cursed with a curse, and everybody believe that's them. You are cursed with a curse, and why am I cursed? And you are cursed with a curse because you are not paying the tithe and the offering as your forefathers didn't do. So what happened is God sent in Malachi to read the right act to Israel, particularly the priests, because they were the one responsible for the ceremonial laws. But if we read to understand and go back to Malachi 2 verse 1, and if you turn there right now, guess who's going to say, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. From that point forward, Malachi is speaking to the priests when he says, you have robbed God. You and all Israel who ain't participating in this. You are the one, not the New Testament church. You didn't rob God if you don't pay no tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
This is to the Levitical priest.
Levitical priest.
Okay, because a lot happened in Leviticus with the priests. When we start to talk about how men and women were coming into the house of God and they were giving in the tithe and they was getting raped and all these kind of things. Some things were happening.
Right.
So this kind of curse was not for the general populace of Israel.
Because remember, this was a covenant agreement, not just the tithe, the entire rules and laws pertaining to the tribe of Levi that is found, I think, in Jeremiah 22 to 23, somewhere around there. And listen to what God said. This is how strong this rule is, inclusive of tithe. God says, listen, if you are able to break my covenant between night and day, meaning that there's a covenant that have the cycle of night and day running. He says, if you are able to break that, then you are able to break my Levitical covenant and the covenant I've made with
you. That is crazy.
This is scripture. So what am I saying? What are you saying, Kevin? All I'm simply saying to you, and I'm not telling you not to pay tithe. If you want to pay that, go right ahead and do it. I'm telling you, I follow the rules. You don't have to listen to me. You can do. But I'm going to tell you, a man who's retired, a man whose wife is retired, a man who lived debt-free.
I see you taking pictures in Paris.
All over the world.
Talk to me.
Right. And no one could say Kevin begged him for no money and asked him for seed and sow in this ministry. I followed the rules. And that is what I pushing the rules. So now back to Malachi. So he's telling him now, you are cursed with a curse. Now watch this. Listen what Malachi said. He says, if you bring the tithe and the offering, so that there would be meat in my house. What do you mean meat in your house? Because they've been telling me all along, so monies. No, tithing was what? Livestock. Tithing was wheat and all these other stuff. So that means the places of God should be a place to have things there for the widow, for the orphans. They should never be turned away if we have a pantry.
Hence the storehouse.
Right. Yeah. So this is the reason not to live big, not to drive expense. And I don't care if you do that. But let me see the people benefiting.
Yeah, because it goes
results.
Right back to the foundational principle. The
let
least that you
results.
Do for me,
right.
You do for these.
And that's what it comes right back to Jesus. Now, Jesus told you very clearly in the New Testament how to give to him. In Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31 to all the way to the end. And he says he's going to return one day, and he's going to divide the earth in two. Sheep on his right, the goat on his left. And the sheep are going to question and say, well, how come we going up to heaven? He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you came and visited me. And they're going to say, well, Jesus, it ain't that we don't want to go to heaven, but we don't remember seeing you. He said, that's right. But when you did it to the least of these, you were giving to me, Jesus. Jesus just told you how to give to him. So this is what our ministry do, and this is what we encourage people to do. Invest the greatest investment in your life that you could ever make, Howard, is investing in the life of someone who could do absolutely nothing for you.
That's heavy what you're saying.
That's why for me, when the pundits, the those who come to argue, they're going in this here and coming to the next. You know why? Because you're trying to get me to turn aside God's law and listen to your rules. The Bible says ignores the law. The Bible says even his prayer should become abomination unto the Lord. That ain't going to happen here. Because there ain't no way in the world I would put God's law over somebody who's still confused with scripture or taking the baton of tradition. And Jesus made it very clear in his rules again, Matthew 15 verses 5 and 6, as well as I think Mark either 13 verse 7 or 7 verse 13. He said it's because of your tradition, your policies, your rules, your bylaws, everything that have nothing to do with God. It's the reason why you don't see the manifestation of God in your life. So let me go back to the question. You've been sowing and giving tithe for 6.10 million years. Why there's nothing happening in your life?
Tell me. The pastors tell you things like, it's something in your life.
Jesus said, listen what Jesus said.
You got something. What you doing?
God told me something special about you. There's something special about you. And I hear $10,000. But listen what the rule says. The rule says this. It says, he that giveth to the poor. I love the scripture.
2023.
Psalms 41 verses 1 to 3. Listen to this promise. And this is only one of many. He that giveth to the poor, he that considers the poor. The Bible says that this person shall be blessed upon the earth. This person, the Bible, God says, I will not turn him over to the will of his enemies. The Bible says that in his time of trouble, I will protect him. In his time of sickness, I will protect him. Why do I love this principle? Because it start off not isolating or segregating anyone. Anybody who invests in the life of a poor person is guaranteed seven promises. And that's just the scripture alone. The next scripture says in Proverbs, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says that he that giveth bountifully to the poor, it says he that giveth bountifully to the poor. Anyway, the bottom line is he will have more than what he gave. All of these rules. And that's why Jesus says poor will be with you always.
Because it'll always give you an opportunity to be able to give.
There you go.
That's heavy what you say.
Very heavy. And then guess what? The beauty of this is that was not my
never
opinion.
Listen to me. That was never taken into that particular text. See, no. Because people don't see the poor with you always as an opportunity to grow. They see it as perpetual suppression.
Right.
They see it as relentless in this sort of a position where you're broken.
You see what you just did? You just sat right there and took your time after understanding
nobody
explaining a principle. You didn't look at it as a story no more. You saw a principle. That's right. Wow, it makes sense now. All of these quotes on the poor, and Jesus said
it was always the half empty cup.
Always right.
People looked at it, the poor will always be amongst you,
as if it's a bottle.
Well, Jesus, why you keep telling us about this half empty cup?
No, man, the half empty cup is there to make you better.
But it's half full.
Right.
The poor will always be amongst you, so it will always give you an opportunity to seed into them so you could grow. This is bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of the conversation today. I got 5 books to give away. Kevin L.A. Ewing. It says, using scripture that bring change, prayers that work. I want you to be able to do that. Hit me up, 827-0111, if you want one of these books. Text me, 422-4796. Give me a telephone call. You know the numbers, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. I want you guys to be a part of this and let's be able to do this. I'm going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Calling all junior and senior high school students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is a beautiful day, and I'm grateful that you're in my company. I'm grateful to be in your company today. Please give me a call if you want to be a part of the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300. 5720, or you can hit me up on the text, 422-4796. If you're just tuning in, we are shaking the foundation of a great deal of our beliefs as it relates to how we interact and move, not only in the church, but the foundation of our faith, which, for the most part, has been religious, not necessarily rooted in Scripture. In the studio with me today, being able to have a very good conversation, enlightening I suppose a great deal of us, because I didn't look at these things in a particular manner. I didn't. I always be with you. I always looked at it as a sort of a glass half empty thing, and not understanding that the poor will always be with you as a perpetual opportunity for you to always grow. That blew my mind just now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of the conversation. The lines are wide open today with none other than Kevin L.A. Ewing. Go ahead.
So as it relates to my book, Prayers That Work, very, very interesting book, because one would believe, oh, I guess this is another prayer book. But no, it's not another prayer book, because what it's doing, as I would have said earlier, and as I would have continued to preach throughout my ministry, we're dealing with the principles. Now, in church, we are taught to pray, and that is something that we should do. However, the protocol as to how we pray is what's going to change everything. For example, if someone comes to you right now and say, okay, Howard, I need you to pray for my son going to school. So we go into this repetitious thing. Father God, I pray that Howard, so-and-so's son go to school. Mm. Lord, make a way for them, Jesus. Lord, get the Holy Spirit, Lord, touch and give them favor, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the way we ought to pray. But the focus of our prayers, and I want everyone to hear this, not on your health, if that's what you're praying for, not on the promotion you're praying for, not on the husband or the wife that you seek. The core of the prayer is, what does the Bible promise concerning these things? Because that now becomes our faith, in which we have to give back to God. Now, let me prove this to you. The Bible says to us in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and we drop down to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Drop down to verse 14, mm-hmm. and it goes on to say that, and the Word became flesh. And who was that? Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. We go over there to 1 John chapter 5, I think verse 6, verse 7, somewhere around there. And it says, there are three that bear witness in heaven. Who are these three? God the Father, and who else? The Word and the Holy Spirit. So the Word, again, is being represented as Jesus. We shoot over there now to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. And I talk about John giving this vision now, and he saw this person in this vesture clothed with blood. And it says, and his name, which was Jesus, his name was called the Word of God. Go back over here now to Psalms 107, verse 20. And God said to the children of Israel, he said, I've sent my word to heal them. Now that we understand what the word is, he isn't saying I send words on a piece of paper to heal them. I've sent Jesus to heal them. Now, Kevin, where are you going with this though? Exactly what I said earlier as it relates to this book. This book, every prayer that I have in there is saturated with scriptures to accommodate that specific prayer. Why? Because it is Jesus that we're believing in for whatever it is that we want. This is why, though, when someone says to you, Howard, if you want that mansion you've been praying about, come put a seed down. Because what you're saying now, Mr. Howard, I must put word and put my belief in the seed, which is money, as opposed to the word of God, which is Jesus. Let me take it a step further.
You blow my mind.
Let me take it a step further. Right here. Jesus now in Matthew, let me prove my point. Jesus in Matthew 26, somewhere around there, 9. Anyway, you all will know the scripture. The blind men, two of them, came walking behind Jesus to be healed. Listen what Jesus said, and then I'm going to tell you what he didn't say. Jesus says, do you believe I can heal you? Jesus didn't say, do you believe you can be healed? Do you believe I, Jesus, who is the Word made flesh? Do you believe I, Jesus, who is the Word, according to 1 John 5? Do you believe I, Jesus, the Word, can heal you?
In the beginning, there was a Word.
Right. So listen what they said. They said, yes, we believe. So watch what he says next. He didn't say be healed. Listen what he says. According to your faith, according to the level of your belief as to who I am, then be it unto you. The Bible says right away they became healed. So I believe every word that you, Jesus, is healing me. Watch what they weren't focused on. Their eyes being healed. They were more focused on the healer himself. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer that works is about saturating your belief, your confidence, the core of your being. If you are riddled with stage 4 cancer right now, stop being repetitive in your prayers. Jesus himself, do not be like the hypocrites who constantly repeat over and over the same prayer. Put your faith in the word of God. So that's why if anyone say to me, if you want to see a change in your life and a miracle, sow a seed, they talk in Spanish to me. And I don't know a lick of Spanish. That's how much I dismiss it. Because what you're telling me is to remove the authentic and adulterated word of God and substitute it with your delusional version of it. And it will never happen in this life. That word, what I'm telling you right now, and that's what inspired me to write this book. Deidre and I, through the same thing I'm telling you, quoting and believing the word of God. God says, I will give you houses you did not build, vineyards you did not plant, pools you did not dig. Psalms 84, verse 11b. He says, no good thing shall be withheld from those that walk uprightly. The Bible goes on and gives many promises. So that's what we focus on. And to this day, that's why I'm telling you, I can make these bold claims because I got the proof to back it up. I had to wait no 10, 15 million years doing somersaults, giving neighbor high five, shifting the atmosphere, the blessing around the corner. And I had to ask one pastor who told me to bless around the corner. Can you at least give me some GPS coordinates? At least. So I'll know, have some idea coming.
I may be in the wrong corner.
Right. So for me, all I'm telling people, they think I come to ruffle feathers. I come to give you the word.
Yes.
I have yet to tell you anything of my opinion. Yes. Everything that I give you, like I give my followers, this is the word. I don't care if you believe me. I don't care if you like me. Do the word of God. She can tell you hundreds of thousands of testimonies from every corner of this planet. Brother Ewing, I love what you're teaching. I followed it, I'm debt free. I followed it, I'm cured of so-and-so. Did Kevin Ewing do it? No. Who did it? Jesus, the Word.
You ain't putting no olive oil in nobody's head.
No, I dropkick them, spim slap them, none of that. All I did was teach them how to follow the Word of God.
Some of these people you ain't even meet.
Right.
That's heavy.
The majority of them.
You ain't meet them.
So when we travel and you have people right now stopping you in the airport. Hey, you that guy on YouTube. Mm-hmm. When you see stuff like that, you see the impact on people's lives. Remember, I ain't going around toting no horn, but I'm the great apostle from the third generation of the Left Federation stuff. All I say to you, by lucky, you can forget me. I don't care about me. The same word. They set me free. They set my family free. They set anyone who listened to it. I am putting the focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
Kevin is just a vessel.
I love this. Ladies and gentlemen, please be a part of the conversation today. We see some stuff out there. I want to give away some of these books. Antonio Hanna, we put that aside. And Cesarine White, there's two books that's put aside. I got three more books. Give me a call, please. 323-625-4259. Or hit me up on the text 422-4796. But only from the telephone right now, I want to be able to give a few of these books. Let me take a telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Turn your radio down. What's up? Hey, what's up, man?
Okay, I think I want his books, please.
Okay. That's all you were holding on for. You were doing that. How can I get in the book, please? What's up, my brother? Don't turn your radio down. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, turn your radio down. Let me take your name and stuff like that. We'll put a book aside for you. Is this the first time you've heard Kevin?
No, he was on the Sunday show. He was on Zanna's Sunday show. Sunday, I did.
On Sunday?
He was on that girl, Trish.
Trish.
Show,
yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, Trish Regnier sitting down. See, she ain't where you know.
No, not Zanna's.
That ain't Zanna's. That's right here. I'm the star. On Star. So tell me this. Give me your name so I can put it in the book.
Okay. Patrick Bastian.
Patrick Bastian. Okay, Mr. Bastian.
424.
No, you ain't got to give me a number. Just Patrick Bastian. When you come here, bring your driver's license. It'll be downstairs waiting on you. It's right here for you, my brother. So
okay,
anything
you want. Monday.
Yeah, you can pick it up today or Monday. It'll be downstairs waiting for you at the reception. Now tell
okay,
me this. Anything else you want to put on the table or you need to go out for the book? You need to stop. Say nothing else? Mr. Bastian, praise God for you. Your book is here, Mr. Bastian. Let me take the next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Howard.
Hey, how you doing, my dear?
You know, I called him for a book, right?
You need to stop. You call me every day, and you normally start off on a decent note. You only called for a book today? Talk to me. Say
no, afternoon. No, I have something else I want to ask.
All right, let me hear that.
I love what he's saying.
Yes.
But my question to him is, what is his views on the Sabbath, seeing that Jesus, the Word, went to the temple, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day? So I want to know what his view is on the Sabbath.
Hold on. Before you go, let me put your name in your book, and they can be able to give him your name, and he can put it in the book right here. Give him the full name.
All right. That's Ruth Nell, Ruthnell. McNeil.
Ruth Nell McNeil.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, my dear. Now, I let him out, and I can let you go about the Sabbath, okay? Okay.
Okay. As it relates to the Sabbath, I've had this question, especially when I first started the ministry. This has been, a big question. First of all, the Sabbath is a part of the Ten Commandments. All that simply means that it has not changed. However, let's go to New Testament rules. And I think in the book of Colossians, Jesus is very clear through the Apostle Paul, let no man judge you in meat, drink, or even holy days. And then right to the bottom, he says, and Sabbaths with an S. So some people might say, hey, my Sabbath is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of Christians celebrate Sunday. Then they would tell you that the Roman Catholic was the one that changed it from Saturday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sabbath is after every 6 days, then you celebrate. Sorry, you are rest on the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I think, in his Gospels, he said that either man was not made for the Sabbath was made for man, or something of that nature. Here is my thing, and this is what I believe. The scripture there in Colossians made it very clear. You don't have the right to judge me. I'm not denying the Sabbath. You just have an issue because I celebrate on a Tuesday.
I don't identify it on your day.
On your day. Right. But at the end of the day, you want to be legalistic with me. Then, okay, fine. Explain that scripture. New Testament now.
The pluralized Sabbaths.
Right. Sabbaths. Very clear.
It's more than one.
So I fight nobody. If you want celebrate Sabbath on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever, here is the point. Sabbath, the law has not changed. We still must honor that. Ten Commandments. Never change. Because if that change, then we got to change murder. We got to change covering people's
children. So what do you say about this? What do you say about this? I can take it here just for 2 seconds, mm-hmm. then we can come back. What do you say about in the 90s when they opened up shopping in the Bahamas?
Right.
They opened up shopping in the Bahamas. Now you can be able to go out and shop and so forth and so on as a Christian nation mm-hmm. who has identified the Sabbath on the seventh day, which is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden the government of the Bahamas decided to open up this Sunday,
right.
which was identified as a Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
to shopping. Talk to me about
it. Well, for those who sell Sunday, that's a problem for them. But if I decide to celebrate my Sabbath on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, listen, it can boil down to your relationship with God. And the only reason why it came to this is because of that scripture in Colossians. Had that not been there, then let's go right back to the Old Testament and stick with that. That's why he says, let no man judge you. Just how a person will come and say, oh, Mr. Ewing, you wrong because you should be... Are you judging me? Because your Bible just told you not to judge me.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear. But no. You know. Because you coming back to me with the Old Testament. And I knocking you because the Sabbath still exists even today. We ought to reverence it.
This heavy
what I'm saying to you, though, because of that scripture, let no man judge me. People come at me all the time. They write me emails on this, and I write right back. Do not judge me, and I give the scripture. I don't want to hear from you no more.
That's it.
Boom.
But you know what? The truth of the matter is that Seventh-day Adventists never had a problem with us shopping on Saturday. They're rowing us and saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. We do their thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get to make your own decision, and I'm glad that you put that there. Let me see if I can get the next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling hoping that there's another book. I could get one, please.
Of course.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hold on. You can't just. How am I supposed to know who your name is?
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, Terrell Clark.
Terrell Clark?
How do you spell that?
T E R E L L.
Clark
with an E.
Mm-hmm.
Clark with an E,
yes.
Yes, and I started. I should say paying tithes, but I just write down offering.
Mm.
Should it still be 10% or whatever I've made up in my heart to give?
I appreciate you, Terrell. We got your book here. Just come here and pick it up to the studio. I'm going to...
And one more question, please.
Go ahead.
The name. What was it on YouTube, Kevin? What?
Kevin L.A. Ewing.
E-W-I-N-G. L.A. Ewing?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
E-W-I-N-G.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Like Patrick. You remember Patrick. All right, now listen, so he asked. Now, he stopped. I got one more book. That's the last book I got. Other than that, you can be able to pick up the books. Where are you going to be able to give the books?
Tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
You got to tell everybody where you're going to be tomorrow.
Right. So tomorrow, and this is the whole purpose of our trip, tomorrow I'm doing a book signing at the Cancer Society on Rusty Bethel Drive down the hill from ZNS. And that's tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Saturday.
Also, now this part of it is a registration part, and if this is just only because of the limited seating, there was no charge to this. And I'm going to be doing a brief teaching from 4 to 5:30 p.m. I'm really teaching about the book, Prayers That Work, and then from 5:30 to answer. I'm going to try to do the teaching a little bit fast because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions, so I want to make room for that. But definitely tomorrow at the Cancer Society at Rusty Bethel Drive down the hill from ZNS. Now, for those of you who may not be able to reach out, because right now we're trying to lock down a bookstore here in Nassau to have it to facilitate selling the books. But I have a website, Kevin L.A. Ewing. And guess what? On that website, you can order the book from Amazon. But I also have the audio to this. I have the audio to this book, Prayers That Work. And I also have the ebook. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have it in the Spanish version, meaning the Spanish softback, the Spanish ebook, as well as the Spanish audio. Then the following month, October, we're going to now come up with the French version of it, the French softback, the French ebook, and the French audio. So right now, we have sold over 20... Just in books alone. Not
you
even
need to stop.
Just in books alone, we have sold over 21,000 copies, and the book just came out in June.
You are wilding out.
And if you don't believe me, you can go on my website, but also Amazon, and look at, I think we have over almost 300 reviews right now. every last one is a positive, no negative reviews at all. So clearly, and people are posting photos, they are posting videos promoting the book. So there's nothing that I'm making up. All I did was follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as my Amazon is concerned, listen to all of the places that these books are being sold. Yes, United States all over, United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, Australia, Netherlands, France, Italy, Japan, on a spreadsheet as to all the countries in which it's being ordered and sold. So you tell me if I made a mistake. You tell me now, because like I said to you from the beginning, people looking at results. Forget what you think of me. Let's look at the results.
Your pastor write a book.
Let's look at
and sell seven in the church.
Right. Let's look at results. Let's look at results. I ain't throwing no shade. All I said.
I just saw
and you know what, Howard? This is for those who are there who know God has called them, but they're being controlled by somebody telling them that they got to give an account for everything that they do. That's nonsense.
My God.
So how come God ain't punished me for doing it?
My brother, listen to me. You're doing a lot today. Listen, I want to tell you something also. Trishawn is sitting there in the studio with us, and you know that she actually does have a show here on Star as a part of the Nassau Guardian company. She's always here, and she's, you know, one of the best. I might as well tell you the truth. And she does a great deal with my sales also. She's beautiful, beautiful. And listen, she has so many personalities. I just want to be very clear with that, right? Right? Praise God. I'm not going to talk with you. Right? Make sure you tune in on Sunday. Your Lane with Coach Trishawn Hannah. Trish Hannah, she's going to be able to do that. And Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing is going to be there. It's going to be at 6 p.m. right here on Star. You can be able to pick that up and be able to find out more about that. I'm sure you're going to be doing some giveaways there also. But you got to go to the Cancer Society tomorrow to pick up your book. People then call me and text me, Howard, you ain't saved. You ain't love Jesus. Look at the text. The people say, I don't love Jesus. Howard, how are you? Come on, man. I didn't beg you long time before the break. How come you? Listen. I told you I wanted to be decent when persons call in to do these particular things. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books laid out. And the last one, we're going to be able to do that. But I thank you, man. I want to be able to talk a little bit more about these things because I know a great deal of persons will be wrapped up in this sort of an idea of what needs to be done, what should. So let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Winnie's, we are different.
We don't just use beef.
It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my beds, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Quality.
Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect on this beautiful Friday afternoon right here on the Foundation. Laid back, it's supposed to be laid back, but feel a little tight under the collar. Don't call me no more. All the book, them?
Gone.
Gone. Don't fight me. People then call me and tell me I don't love Jesus. They then text me, Howard! Don't text me and tell me again. Hell no. You gotta stop it. We did our best to try to be able to accommodate all those persons. Please pick up your book. How much is the price of the book?
$20.
It's going to be $20. It has significant information in there. All those persons who can, you know, sometimes you just got the squint and look tight. No, man, you got some nice big block letters in here. And very clear, all the information's in there. Guys, those persons who we called and we put your names in the book, I will definitely let you know to be able to pick up that book. Antonio Bullard, Ruthnell McNeil, Terrell Clark. We already give you guys the information. Patrick Bastian. Who else we got? Cesarin White. And also Antonio Hanna. These are the persons that got some books, and we know that the Father's blessed you. I wanted to have him to be able to sign the books while he's here. So all these books are signed by the author. It's a beautiful thing. Listen, he ain't put no olive oil in the books and nothing like that. I know you're going to, oh, touch the book. Y'all need to stop. So all this stuff is here. Make sure you pick up your book right here at The Guardian. You can walk right up to the reception. She'll have your book behind there. Bring your ID. Don't try to say, Antonio. Ma'am, you don't look like an Antonio. You need to stop. All right, so y'all need to stop, right? So we got all the information here. I'm going to take these telephone calls. So I don't have no more books. Don't fight me. We're sitting here with none other than Kevin L.A. Ewing. He's giving us a deep dive into the concepts and ideas and really shaking the foundation of a great deal of the religion that exists in our society and saying to us, get back to faith. Let me take the telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, call you on the line with us live. Next caller. Call you on the line with us live. Thanks so much for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, brother, this talk, you know, right along with you and your guests.
Raymond, turn your radio down.
Right. What I want to say, right, I'm not calling pertaining to a book.
Okay, my brother.
But what I want to say, the brother need to check the scripture with the Sabbath. The only day that were blessed, that God holied, it is the Sabbath day, and it says it in the scripture. So it's more than just resting. In other words, it's according to the scripture, the Sabbath day is a holy day.
Yeah, but this is what he's saying to you. The Sabbath day. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay, good. Now, he's saying to you that the Sabbath day in Colossians, it pluralizes.
I miss you there. The Sabbath day in Colossians?
Yes. I can hang up from you. So, okay. No. Turn your radio back up. I can hang up so I can let him answer. Turn your radio up. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. But to the point, didn't we just talk about this? We talked about the fact that the Sabbath day is based upon when you identify it. It's still holy. But whether it's a Wednesday, whether it's a Friday, whether it's a Saturday, whether it's a Sunday, you have to have a relationship to keep this particular time holy and your commitment to God. Talk to me about it.
Let me even take it a step further because, like I say, I've addressed this to so many people. And it's gotten to the point where there are certain sectors of society who has idolized the Sabbath day, literally idolize it. Forget fornication, lying, stealing, unforgiveness, coveting your neighbor's wife. Those things aren't really all of that. Just once you show up on the Sabbath day and act holy, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So what it's basically doing is discounting every other evil, and then you just, on a Saturday, whenever you decide to have the Sabbath day, it expunges every other evil.
Oh my God, you take the words right out of my mouth. I say, because this is what I'm thinking. I say this, because people start playing the little Christian music.
Right,
and then,
right.
Ben Zedden, they start playing, right. You turn up loud in the house.
Right.
Yeah, this can rinse the house out. Y'all need to stop.
No. So, and that's what this putting aside this form of godliness. Listen to me here. Whether you honor that Sabbath day or not, let me tell you what is consistently happening. God is consistently looking at your heart. So you could be every Saturday turning off your lights, closing your store, and following that. And there's nothing wrong. Let me be clear. But here it is, you don't speak to your husband. You and your wife sleep in two separate rooms. Here it is, you're full of deceit, haven't spoken to your sister and brothers in years. But yet you have no problem showing up in church, raising holy hands, and say you do on the Sabbath day? Oh, no, man, I can't respect you with that, man. So I'm not denying the Sabbath day. I fully enforce it. I said Colossians now, put a twist to it. And really God was saying it was just a shadow of things in the Old Testament. The Sabbath day is still holy unto God. It is still a day of rest and everything else that encapsulates it. What I'm saying to you, you don't have the right to demand and tell me when to do a Sabbath day. The Bible says you must not judge me. So whatever argument come up, you're judging me. So I'm not going to go no further with nobody but that. This is what I believe. You don't have to believe it. Believe what you want to believe. But let's be clear. The same way you're accusing me of a sin of celebrating Sabbath on a Sunday, you are also committing a sin by judging me.
Now, I want to take a few telephone calls also, guys. The lines are wide open. I'm really engaged in this conversation. And also, I want to be able to talk about Dr. Gillian Curry-Williams and the Tribe presents part two. Renew, Rebuild, Restore conference. It's going to be held in November from the 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the National Training Agency on Gladstone Road here in Nassau, Bahamas. And you could be able to register at 242-818-9764. And the guest speaker will be Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. This is exciting stuff. And I'm sure that you have a website that persons can be able to figure everything this stuff out. Give me your website.
KevinLAEwing.com. That will have all of my events, including this one here also. And everything is on there. The links to my website, to my blog, YouTube, all of that stuff is there. I also have an app. If you go on Android as well as Apple, just type in Kevin L. Ewing, and I have an app there, Deal With Dreams, everything on there. So
you know I have your app, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you look like someone who have my app.
I got your app. I got all the information right. And stuff like that. Guys, please be a part of the conversation. Let me see if I can take this telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead, caller.
I'm pleasant to be on the line with Brad. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning to you, sir. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning to you.
Now, in 1509 to 1547, was the reign of King Henry VIII. Up to that time, they were using the Roman Catholic Bible because England was under the Pope when it came to religion. The Bible was not translated until 1604 by King James I. So the English were underneath the Catholic translation of the Bible that came down from the Greeks and so forth, and it was translated many times. But when it came to the Sabbath, the calendar, the first known mention of the calendars was back during the Bronze Age, round with the Babylonians and the Persians and those. And if you look at your calendar, Sunday is the first day of the week. And God rested on the seventh day of the week. If Sunday is the first day, God rested on Saturday. See, I think it was one of the popes that changed it to Sunday because Saturday was more of a busy shopping day.
Sparky,
I think. And most of us do our shopping on the Saturday, but the Saturday is the seventh day. God rested on the Sabbath.
Sparky, I appreciate your telephone call. I thank you so very kindly. I think we went through this about four times now.
Yeah, we've been through this.
Does this happen to you all the time?
All the time, and nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to the scripture. Explain Colossians, where it speaks about the Sabbath.
Nobody cares about Colossians.
They don't care.
Sparky, this is what the Bronze Age does. Just now.
Yeah.
We're going back to the Bronze Age.
And all of that was unnecessary because what you're saying is that they should rip that part of the scripture out. Let me be clear one more time, and I'm done with this question, okay? The Sabbath day. However you choose to celebrate that, I am not fighting you. Is Kevin Ewing saying the Sabbath day is no longer in existence? Nonsense. It is. Whether you pick the Sabbath on the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 50 millionth day, do you honor the Sabbath day? Yes. What's the problem?
The Sabbath day, if you work in a hotel, could be your fixed day.
That's right.
This is an amazing thing.
Yeah, I'm not. So
you can't get the church on your day.
But I'm even going through all of that because at the end of the day, if someone was denying the Sabbath day, we have an issue. Because again, it's a part of the Ten Commandments. Nothing in there was annulled or removed. So these arguments are going to become fruitless because you have your belief and I have my belief. And here is what I always say in my ministry. I don't debate scripture. I obey scripture. Now, how you choose to interpret it, that's on you. I ain't going through all that.
Let's read a couple of texts, guys. You can send me a text 422-4796. Blessings, Howard. You realize that what the brother L.A. Ewing is saying about look out for helping, uplifting the poor, and as a result, being whipped without lack, being provided for, being overflowing, what with all you need, blessings beyond measure, has been continually manifested in the life of the singing bishop, Prophet Lawrence Roll, and Bishop Hanshaw, and numerous others like them. Really think about it. These are the people that continue to be able to give back to the community.
Right, and I watch them all the time.
Listen to me.
All the time.
Bishop is one of my best friends. He's a decent man. I love him bad. You understand? When I met him, the man was outside cooking for people on the rock. Blew my mind. I ran in my pocket.
Right.
I told this story many times. I had some money. I just picked up some money. The first time I meet this man, I wanted to interview him. When I see... I said, Jesus, how does modest get this money to do these things? I watch people walk inside there. Hey, Bishop, I want to give you 300, 400, boom, 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 boom. I said, Bishop, how you get this money? Casual conversation. He said, have it. Let me tell you. God does provide.
Right, right.
He said, Howard, God does provide. I met him. I got in my car because I had the money in the car. I pull out $400 of my wife's money. I said, I got to give you this. Jesus in your mind. And I won't tell my wife. This is the first time she knows.
Right.
She knows about it now. But this is how, see, people, when you prick their hearts, this is what they do. When you continue to be able to commit yourself to the poor themselves, this is what they do. The other day, we were able to do on the show, I found out, I didn't know that I know her. Maybe you know about this. The mother of the 9-year-old girl who was raped in the city, come to find out, I know her.
Wow.
I sit down and talk to her because my little boy had asthma. And so, first time I ever been in Princess Margaret Hospital, I don't go there. I sat in there, I said, Jesus, what are you here for? When she held me and she nestled up on the side of me and her talking in a little couch. So I said, girl, what you here for? And then my mind instantly said, I think that's an inappropriate question. You don't ask people what they're in the hospital for. And then she said, well, you know, I right here, the girl who get raped is my daughter. Wow. I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind because we had already talked about it on the show.
Right.
I said to her, I said, so what are you doing for work? She hadn't been to work for a couple of weeks. I said I wanted to be able to be a blessing to her. I said, but let me tell you, I can give you the money tomorrow. I came on the show and I told them about the whole listening audience who's listening to, us right now. I said to them, I know this girl, come be a blessing. I opened up the door, people walk in here, boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Listen to me.
That's what God expects.
This is what we have to do.
This is what we have to do. Let me tell you something funny. Everybody in the uncle will call me right now and debate the Sabbath from Night of Glory, but they would never ever push the issue of giving to the poor. Never. Right. Never. I will if I stay until Christ come, every other call, oh, the Sabbath is this and their version is that, and don't celebrate this and don't celebrate that. What about helping your brothers and sisters? What about helping your neighbor? What about those people who you discard, like different nationalities, when the a part of the rules and policies of paying tithe was not only do you put aside for the orphan, the widow, and so on, but for the stranger. Now, who was the stranger? The Bible in the Hebrew call them aliens. And who are they? People don't even believe in your God. So how do we do that now?
Locally, that's people from the South.
Okay, then.
Talk to me.
Okay, then.
You're getting deep.
But what we do, though, is we criticize, we run away with garbage. Why? Because we take a handed-down gospel, which is filled with church rules, policies, and people's personal feelings, and present that as the gospel. So this is why you get a zero result at the end of that exercise. So all of this stuff about whether you believe in tithing, whether you believe in the Sabbath, all of it is fruitless. You know why? Let's look at the fruit in those who give. And let's look at the food and those who don't give, those who celebrate this, those who celebrate that. I'm going to squeeze in this last point, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Kevin, how, if you're saying we don't pay tithe, which I never did, if you say we don't pay tithe, what do we do then as New Testament believers? Printed here quite clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul made it very, very clear, beginning at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. So Paul is now giving a measuring stick to the believer and how he or she wants to alter or augment their financial state or their resource state. He say, he that giveth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, meaning that if I give a little, I will get a little. But he says, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully, right? Verse 7, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So let me show you some violations here. So you're in a church. And I hear God say right now, there are 10 people in here right now. with $100 right now, come here and sow the seed or your curse. Or God said those finances. Hold on, whoa. I just read some conditions as to why I should not give. And in your behavior, you're demonstrating one of those violations.
And Jesus noticed $100
for
my rent.
Another problem I have, right? You said there are 10 people. 11 people came back. Why didn't you tell them, sit down, because God told me 10 only. Talk to me.
No.
Talk to me.
They like the overflow.
No. Talk to me.
My cup runneth
over. No. See, if you said, if you said Trish, say 10 people and 11 came, that's Trish word. We ain't got to. But you say God, like you're telling me to follow Sabbaths and everything else, then why didn't you say, sir, as much as I'd want to take that 11th gift from you, I cannot because God told me 10. Wow. Make me understand it.
It's heavy what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, be a part of the conversation today. There's another text about the Sabbath that's coming in again. It says, Howard and Kevin, when God designated a Sabbath day, none of the days had a name. They were simply the first day, the second day, the third day, etc. Later on in history, some men gave names to those names, mm-hmm. to those days. So why are people suggesting that God chose Saturday or Sunday as a Sabbath? Like you're saying, the Sabbath day is your day. 7 days.
Boom, end of
the
story.
Whatever that is. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a text that's coming through, right? So it says, great show as usual. Ask your guest how he feels about citizens expect the church and the government to solve all their social ills without taking any personal responsibility.
Oh, I love this one.
Yes, he does.
I love this. Can I jump on that right now?
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, whoever that person is, they need to come to the front of the class right now, right? They have been trained that way, just like most churches, not all of them, most churches has literally taught and schooled their members to be poor, to be broke, and to be financially irresponsible. Listen, I remember going to a church one time, and I remember this prophet person came in. This isn't the first time I've seen this happen. And the prophet says, listen, some of you are in financial straits right now. You can't pay your rent. You can't do so and so. God says, and he gave them what I think it was about $500 or $600. He says, even if you have to take it out of your mortgage right now, or take a trust God. And he started running out all these ones. Listen to me. And this is a part of my new book that's coming on, Financial Gains via God's Principles. God already blessed you with the money to pay your bills. So why are you taking the money God blessed you with already to go give to this guy over here? Not only that, and he's telling you, if you don't bring it, you're going to be cursed more. Hold on, but when I read the rules, you are going contrary or in the opposite direction to the rules. So my thing is this, the government, and the church, particularly to the church, not all of them, let me be clear, the churches that push the seed sowing and forcing people and treading in them, if they don't pay tithe, they're going to be cursed. It's absolute nonsense and foolishness. You know why? First of all, learn to budget, okay? How much is revenue you got coming in? How much expenditures you have? What your deficit is? What is your plan? The Bible says a foolish man builded a house and don't know how he can finish it. So if I go into a church where they ain't telling me how to save, all the money you're taking from me, you didn't bring in a financial advisor to say, you know what? These people who come into the church all the time to beg for money, this can be the new penalty, the new procedure.
That's heavy what you said.
We want to educate you. Now, if you're not prepared to take that class, don't come here asking us for money no more.
This is heavy what you said.
But you're training people. Trust God. Do this for God. And you know what's the biggest proof? When COVID came around, all the people who claim to be people covering, all the people who said that when you sow in the tithe and offering, God is going to look out for you, then how come there was such a deficit, such a financial and resources, whatever? So how do we back out of that? Well, we say, well, I guess there's sin in your life like they tell Job. That's why it's not happening for you.
You know.
So it wasn't sin in my life when I was giving you the money?
No.
Okay, all right. I just want to be clear there.
You was good then.
Right, I was good then, right.
Yeah. Now you ain't got no money.
Somewhere I stumble along the line.
Sin just pop up.
Right. I got you. No.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I think about this and I say to myself, what's peculiar to be able to live in this space and accept the religion? Mm-hmm. They accept the condition. They fight you based upon their conditioning. There's a text I want to be able to read also. Mm-hmm. That's here. Let me see if I can read this. So it says, Howard, I just tuned in, but I find no fault in what the bold author is expressing. It is 100% strong. It says, on the matter of the tithe, I encourage believers to honor the principle of the tithe, which is honor God's first fruit in your giving. this text is coming through,
right?
So they talk about this kind of a concept about giving honor to the first fruit of your giving.
Right.
Is that, talk to me about the principle of that.
Oh, beautiful, man. In fact, I mentioned it earlier. Okay, who are you giving the first fruit to? To Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So first fruit would mean that I'm going to take the first of what I have to honor God. This is the top of what I have. Jesus, this is for you because I believe that you've provided everything else for me. So the best I could do is give this back to you. Now, let me tell you what Kevin don't do. I don't take the 10% because what I will be doing is it'll be a disadvantage to me because of the rules. The new rules say that if I give sparingly, only 10%, I will reap sparingly. I chose not to do that. But guess who I give my monies to? When I get any kind of money, to the poor. Why? Because the Bible says that when you give to the least of these, you're giving to who? Jesus. So who are you giving your fruit to, sir?
Me?
No. I'm just trying to show you. Listen. I'm not arguing. What I'm saying to you, and I'm not saying this caller or this one who texts you this. I am not bound by tradition. That's all I'm saying to you. You could get mad or not mad. You will not bound me to tradition. Every time, what we'll be doing on our ministry, we have a program where we assist those who cannot assist themselves. We have a 6-month program and we have a 1-year program. Depending on the situation, we will do it for a year. We come back, we do a review. And even in that, we would say, okay, let's sit down before we do any kind of evaluation in terms of what we can do. Let's see your expenditures. Let's see your whatever. And let's see how we can help you cut back on some fat or how we can get you back in line or to focus on paying off your debt, which the church don't tell you to do. Not all. In that case, you do the 6 months as well as you do the 12 months. At the end of each one of them, we review. And if we see where they were doing their best to keep up, but yet that wasn't sufficient time, then we give them another year or another 6 months. This ministry, even the school in Freeport, we've adopted Freeport Primary. So this ministry, unlike many others, is all about giving to people. Why? At the end of the day when we stand before God, all of the Sabbath and stuff you run about, you know what God can say to you? What did you do for your fellow man?
Let me take this telephone call, ladies and gentlemen. We're a few minutes out. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line with us live. Thanks so much for holding.
Good day, y'all. What are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Just remember, this evening you have to give me $100 for my minutes, okay? Please, I need my minutes.
Well, the least you do for these, you do for me. Go ahead.
I agree with the gentleman that is in there because when pastors teach, yeah, they preach about salvation and all that sort of stuff. It's excellent. It's great. But after I get saved, the Bible teaches other things.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is about multiplication. It's always adding, it's always adding, it's always adding. And like he said, a lot of people in the church don't have because of the teaching that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said this. He was talking, ministering to some drug dealers in the U.S. and California. And the guy said, why should I come to your church and worship your God when everybody over there is poor and look what I have.
Right.
You see, so the church needs to teach, or the pastors need to teach the whole Bible. Everything about the Bible, about me, about money, you know, they come and say, you know, money is the root of all evil. I don't believe that. The lack of money is the root of all evil because you'll do anything.
I'm sure the Bible said the love, right? Well, go ahead.
You know? So we need to teach the whole Bible and stop teaching half of the Bible. I ain't calling them no Sabbath. Only two things I really call about is teaching the whole Bible and tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, my brother.
Okay.
Let me see if I can read this text before we get into this. Hi, Howard. Your guest is lost. This text is coming through.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, your show is a reflection of how religion divides us.
Mm-hmm.
It says, sincerity is not a ticket to heaven, right?
Wow.
My God. Mm-hmm. Everyone arguing about something they have no knowledge of.
Wow.
This proves that the Bible is a contradictory book.
Ooh.
Written by men whose aim was to control us and tell us how to live. It is not reality. Your guest is a prime example of how people shouting out God, 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 are lost.
I can answer that.
Of course, I want you to hear anything for
and I always look forward to hearing from people like that. Let me tell you what is so interesting about such a statement. Everything has some kind of manual or format to operate it. I mean, you got this phone, it came in a manual, you got your refrigerator. The manual of human life is the only one that most people would say it's been tampered with. There's not the original text or whatever the case may be. So if that's the case, then what rules, see, that's where I always come back to, saying that I'm lost and a lot of us religious people are lost, what rules? Because I made a decision to stick with the Bible because this thing is telling me don't fornicate, don't lie, don't commit this, don't murder. And I thought it makes sense to me. And what it's telling me is how to have a better quality of life. My question to that texter, what rule book do you go by? Because the Bible is not real. What book? They have some people who say to me, Kevin, listen, the Bible was written by man. So which alien wrote your book that you read from? Which spiritual entity, which angel came down and gave you a special edition of heaven's rules? So at the end of the day, everything, that's why I love the Bible.
Hardback, special edition.
Everything is governed by a law, a rule, and a principle. That's it. What do you go by? You've just discounted God. You've just discounted the Bible. It was written by people to make us slaves. Okay, I get it. Now, present us with the book that we should be reading.
The right one.
The right one,
okay.
That was not written by humans.
Okay.
By aliens. I will read it.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can be able to read it. A couple more texts. It says, seeing that so many churches attend Bahamian churches, those churches should be primary sources of teaching financial literacy and financial discipline and financial responsibility. I wish you can discuss this later. I want to talk about that if you mm-hmm. give me a time to come back to talk mm-hmm. about those things, right? You could call it. You ain't got to.
Well, I'm here for the week, so it's up to you.
You have it a bit? I want to talk with you. Okay. Okay. Now, I want to touch this because you talked about teaching without education. In this last 2 minutes, I want to say this. I think that this is a principle that actually supersedes not just what's happening from a biblical standpoint, but from a social standpoint. I think many persons in our country seek to be able to see us grow and expand, especially after independence, whilst we're in the year of Jubilee. But we haven't gotten the information, the education of how to deal with our money. Children still come out of school. There's this kind of a rift 2 days ago. You're going to be able to see in the newspaper. It says Thursday.
Results worsened.
BGCSE exam results worsened.
Wow.
Right? Why? Why are people losing the restraint and understanding of all these particular things? No one teaching these children what needs, not just superficial carnal mm-hmm. survival, mm-hmm. but a spiritual alignment. We on this show, I've always talked about the contrast between the tangibles and the intangibles. Our forefathers run after the tangibles. We need to fix the infrastructure. We need to fix the rules. We need to fix this. We need to fix that. And as years progress, people left the man alone, tampering mm-hmm. with the day of whether or not you're sharp and how you're sharp, getting involved in the church. When the church stand one time, the government says, let the church do the church and the government be the government. Tampering relentlessly mm-hmm. with the intangibles, the faith of who we are as a community, mm-hmm. and expect there to be strength. I won't talk like this. I want to talk about what needs to happen, not just putting the principle at the forefront, but also fortifying that principle with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough teachers to talk about how you could mature and develop from a spiritual standpoint. You got to come back, my brother. Touch it before we go.
Okay. In a quick nutshell, the Bible says that a child that is left to himself will bring his parents to shame.
My God.
This is why, even with the person who just sent you that text, see, when I hear stuff like that, it aggravates me because what am I supposed to lean on as a guide, as something, as structure, when you try to dismiss the scripture? And even if you do that, what are you bringing to the table for me to follow other than your view, your opinion, or whatever? We live in a nation or in a country where we hate rules. And that is extended all the way to the house of God. People want to cherry pick what they should obey or what their particular denomination want. And this is why that denomination brings division. Because you have people coming in with these, whatever they had, and say, well, God says this. And what they're telling you God says is against the scripture. So the Bible says any child that is left to themselves, I can guarantee you the headline right there said that the BGCSEs has worsened. You do a survey on the houses in which them children come from.
The children were left to themselves.
Why? There you go.
You wilding out.
Scripture.
And listen to me. We are flat out of time. I might as well tell you the truth. You got to come back.
Yeah, man.
You can come back?
Of course.
Why is he here now?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm an asshole.
He's like a decent man. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me read this last text and then let you know that tomorrow at the Cancer Society, at what time?
From 2 o'clock to 3:30 at the Cancer Society.
2 o'clock to 3:30, Cancer right. Society, Rusty Bether Avenue, right there at the bottom of the hill. When you're getting over by Zedness, Collins Avenue, you could be able to do that at the Cancer Society. He's going to be selling the books, book signing, everything. The books are $20. Please get your book. If you didn't get it, don't cuss me out for the thing. Get $20. Invest in the rest of your life and being able to align yourself with where God has called you to be as it relates to prayers that work. That's Kevin L.A. Ewing. I'm going to read this here. This is the people that respond into the thing just there. He says, my rules and laws that I live by, it's my contribution to the wellness of humanity to make it better. The devil, heaven and hell story.
I finished
this. What the people say. Mm-hmm. This is what the people say. Mm-hmm. It says, I would go to church if they teach that and not the implorable faith that creates more improbability.
He still ain't telling me his rules we live by. Though. He still isn't telling me what manual, what book, what principle. Making a contribution isn't a principle you live by.
Somebody say, it's a great show. Please bring him back. These are the same people who can tell me, when you come back, bring some free books. Right. You need to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin, I want to thank you, my brother. I want to thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Okay? You are a good and decent man, and we want to learn more and more. I'm sure that you're shaking at the root and the foundation of a lot of persons' faith and religion. But as we get deeper into these things, I think it's a time, especially in the year of our Jubilee, a great deal of people want to be able to get into clarity. We have been meandering in darkness for too long, even after independence. And it's time for us to be able to find our identity, our strength, and get out of this proverbial hole.
Mm-hmm.
We can make some things happen. Guys, I thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of the conversation today. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, in your company, The Foundation. Guys, stick and stay for Shivalva Line. We will see you on Monday, Godspeed, right here on Monday. Hold on, wait. On Monday, we got the ambassador, Dai Qingli, ambassador for China, having a great conversation with her on Monday. We got everything laid out. Because I told you, I gained to China. So we're going to be doing a great deal of things, and we're going to talk about those things. I'm excited about that. We're going to see you Monday right here on The Foundation.
Foundation. Foundation.